This is SB Nation Radio. Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour. We'll focus on the greatest professional fishermen in the world. Those are the men that make up the Bassmaster Elite Series. And those looking to get into that exclusive group through the Bass Pro Shops Open Series. And the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops. Now, the best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just to comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/bassradio or on Twitter at @bass_nation and use the hashtag bassradio. You can also listen to all the shows at bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the home button and click on Bassmaster Radio. Now, the Elite Series is getting ready to head north to the St. Lawrence River and Lake Champlain over back-to-back weeks at the end of July, right after ICAST in Orlando, which we will feature on next week's show. Now, the Bass Pro Shops Northern Open on Oneida Lake last week was a meat fest with a ton of smallies being caught, but it was Stanley Sipek Jr.'s 20-pound, 7-ounce final day bag of big mouths that put over $54,000 of cash and prizes in the Sugarloaf, Pennsylvania anglers' pockets. For the rest of the results, it was Wesley Strader about 3 pounds back, then Glenn Goodwin, Alex Weatherall tying for third and fourth, and Patrick Walters rounding out the top five. For this week's show, a closer look at the sixth edition of the Bassmaster Top 100 Lakes. Taking the top spot was Mille Lacs Lake in Minnesota. So who better to talk about that place than the Mille Lacs Hammer, Seth Fider. Then Davey Height will weigh in on the southeast portion of the country. And Bassmaster Magazine editor and Top 100 Godfather, James Hall, will explain himself and the committee's picks. We've got great lakes on here, huge coastal waters, reservoirs of all sizes, and even a 200-acre pond in Mississippi. This is quite possibly the most thorough ranking yet. Let me give you your top 12. Again, it was Mille Lacs at number one. Number two was Sam Rayburn Reservoir. Number three, Clear Lake in California, followed by Little Sharon Harris Lake in North Carolina. More on that later. Number five was the Sacramento San Joaquin Delta in California, then Lake Berryessa in California. Lake Erie came in at number seven, followed by Santee Cooper Lake. At number nine was Lake St. Clair in Michigan. Number 10 was Falcon Lake in Texas. The Thousand Islands was number 11 and rounding out the top 12. Chickamauga Lake on the Tennessee River in Tennessee. When we return, Minnesota's Seth Fider talks Mille Lacs and the Northern Swing next, right here on Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. Enter now for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra SR5 Double Cab 4x4 in the Ultimate Toyota Tundra Giveaway. Grand prize includes a genuine Toyota accessories package valued at up to $2,500 and additional accessories from B&W trailer hitches, Covercraft, Volant, and Yakima, plus a $4,000 installation allowance. A total grand prize value of close to $44,500. In addition, five runners-up will receive a $200 gift card from Advance Auto Parts. Visit Bassmaster.com/Toyota Tundra Giveaway to enter daily until September 15th, 2017, and for official rule.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament, hosted by Tommy Sanders, Mark Zona, and former Bassmaster Classic champion Davey Height. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer, plus special guest appearances from elite pros. Streaming on Bassmaster.com, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m., and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time, and simulcast on ESPN3.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over 500,000 outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster Magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham, and Of course, as I said, today, a top 100 special as we look at the Bassmasters list of the top 100 lakes in the nation, headed up by Mille Lacs in Minnesota. Now, listen, if you're going to talk about Mille Lacs, you got to talk to Seth Feider, right? I mean, he went there last year in the Angler of the Year tournament, won that thing. He's known to be a hammer from up there. He's from Minneapolis, about 100 miles or so south of Mille Lacs, but he spent a lot of time fishing that lake. So we figure we'll go right to the source with Seth Feider, and he joins us now. Seth, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
All right. First of all, any surprise for you when you hear that Mille Lacs is rated the number one lake in the entire nation for bass fishing?
No, definitely no surprise there. I've been fishing really phenomenally the last few years. Honestly, I kind of didn't want to see it ranked number one. It's usually the kiss of death for most lakes, but still fishing really good right now, and you know, hopefully it holds up for years to come.
Now, this is a big lake. I mean, it's 132,000 square acres. That's twice the size of Gunnersville, or even more than that, and some of the river impoundments and so on. Big round type of lake. But it's interesting, when you look up the lake, they refer to it, they talk about the walleye and the muskie and the pike, and the bass besides. Do folks up there think of it as a walleye lake, or is this a smallmouth lake?
Oh, for sure. Up here, it's probably Minnesota's best walleye lake we have. Probably has the biggest muskies out of any lake in the state. Numbers aren't great on the muskies, but the giants live there. And, yeah, bass fishing's been kind of a third-rate deal here for the last 10 years. But I think that's going to change a lot. It already has in just the last year since the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it would seem to me that, you know, some of those guys that go up there fishing for walleye, to get they see that it's a smallmouth and they're disappointed, right? They want to try to shake it off. They don't even want to land a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll figure it out sooner or later.
Yeah, right. All right, Seth Feider with us, talking a little bit about Mille Lacs, which is rated the number one lake in the country in the Bassmaster Top 100. The lake is referred to as a shallow lake. Is this a lake that, if you're out there and you're going after smallmouth, is this a lake that kind of like St. Clair, where there's a lot of offshore-type smallmouth haunts, or is this something where, you know, you find them more along the shore and in the inland areas?
No, it does fish a lot like Sinclair. You know, the deepest spot in the lake, I don't even know if it gets 40 feet deep. So,
wow.
I mean, essentially, they could be anywhere in the lake. The difference between St. Clair and here is they're relating mostly to rock. So they get on more specific stuff. You know, you can go side scan, find a rock pile, throw a bait at it, and catch it. Where Sinclair, it seems like it's just kind of a giant sand flat with a little bit of grass mixed in here and there, and they can kind of be anywhere. Where I feel like this, like, they get more on, you know, specific stuff, and it makes it a little easier, I think. Sinclair seems to kind of just be a pretty random bite, but it makes a little more sense here, I think.
You won last year there with a three-day total of 75.5. That's 100 pounds in a four-day tournament. That would be a Bassmaster record for the Classic, if it were a Classic tournament. 94 limits over 20 pounds in that tournament. I mean, is this a place? Do they even have 2-pound smallmouth, or is this a place that's just chock full of 5-pounders? And if you don't have 25 pounds a day, you can't compete.
Pretty much. We do have a good crop of small fish coming up, but you know, the average fish you're going to catch when you set the hook on Mille Lacs, it's going to be 3.5 to 4.5 pounds. That's just, you know, if you go out and catch 50 a day, half of them are going to be bigger, that size or bigger. So the trophy smallmouth in here, it's second to none, I think. But we do have some small fish in there, there's no doubt about that. But there's probably as many 4-pounders as there is 2-pounders in the lake.
It would seem to be a lake that, and a lot of, like you said, it's sometimes the kiss of death in terms of, you know, people wanting to go there. And now this becomes a destination for everyone to, you know, to hit this. If you're anywhere near there, a day's drive away, you want to try and hit the number one lake in the country. But having said that, it seems like the kind of lake that can handle a pretty good population of boats. It's not like everybody's piled up on the same spots, right?
Yeah, it definitely fishes really big. There's no doubt about that. You know, the biggest fish aren't all over the system, I wouldn't say, but it's definitely a fun place to fish. I mean, literally any cast, you can catch a 6-pound smallmouth year round. I mean, it's good from opening day till it freezes. So that's the other really nice part about it. You don't have to be here, you know, tree spawn or a certain little window. It's pretty rock solid year round. So it's a tremendous fisher. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, Cabela's Pro, Seth Fighter with us talking about Mille Lacs. All right, so give the folks, the listeners, a tip or two. We know you're going there for AOI again this year. We don't want you to give away too many of your secrets. But if you're going to go ahead and tell folks, all right, you're coming up there sometime in the middle of the summer, what's the arsenal? What's the best way to attack this thing for sheer numbers and then for giants?
Okay. The baits will change a little bit throughout the season, but it's your standard smallmouth stuff. I mean, you got to have a drop shot rig. You got to have a tube. A wrapless shadow wrap just never gets old. Smallmouths are suckers for jerk baits.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of topwater bait and a marabou jig if you're in on that deal. They bite that pretty good. But I keep it really basic. That and maybe a swim bait on a jig head. I don't ever have more than 4 or 5 rods rigged when I head to the lake. Really, covering water is the deal. You just got to keep going until you get around them. And once you do, you can sit there and catch them until you're sick of it.
Yeah, I would imagine it becomes a whack fest once you find that right grouping of rocks. Is there any particular type of thing that folks would look for? Is it multiple rocks? Is it rocks where they're kind of isolated? Anything along those lines?
Like I said, that'll change with the seasons. Right now, I mean, all our fish, we just had a big mayfly hatch. So all our fish are up shallow eating mayflies right now. And this time of year, I just get on the flats. You definitely want to fish the rock, but most of the lake is rock. There's a little bit of mud in the middle, but, all around the shorelines, all the reefs, all that stuff's going to have fish on it. I just get up on the shallow flats with a hair jig right now and chase around bug eaters. And then as we get later into the summer, that July, August, September time, that's when your fish are going to, get out. You'll be more drop shot fishing and tube jig fishing, out in that 15 to 25 feet of water. That's when I'm looking for more of that, big isolated rock stuff. But right now, you just get up on the flats off the bank and go pretty much.
Yeah. Seth Fighter with us. All right. Now, I understand, not that you would target them, but I understand that you can get into canals around the lake as well and find some largemouth in that water as well, right?
Oh, yeah. It's actually a pretty solid largemouth lake and probably the least pressured fish on the lake. I mean, after the early spring, everybody kind of leaves the little bays and the reed beds and that kind of stuff alone, because most of the smallmouth kind of go out to the main lake. But, phenomenal largemouth fishing. There's some guys that, you didn't hear much about them because everybody was catching the smallmouth so well during that tournament, but there's guys going out catching 22, 23-pound bags of largemouth. And they're definitely in there, and they don't get any pressure, so they're fun to fish for at times. It's just, as far as a tournament goes, you just cannot win on them, so
right.
They kind of get overlooked. But there's a nice population of 3 to 5 pound largemouth in here too.
Yeah. All right, before I let you go, we got about a minute left. 36th in the AOI standings right now, and which is a pretty good spot for you heading for the northern swing. You got Thousand Islands, you got Lake Champlain, you got St. Clair. You feeling pretty good the way you're fishing right now, going into those lakes and kind of going into your region of the country where a lot of smallmouth fish are going to be caught?
Definitely feel good about the rest of the season. Got myself in a good position to make the Classic, so hopefully I can do what I got to do in these last three and get there. But had a really blessed year so far, getting pretty lucky on some largemouth stuff down south, but I didn't really think I'd be this high in the points at this point in the year, so really fortunate to be here, and hopefully we can lock down a Classic spot in the next few tournaments and maybe win some money. And I'm really looking forward to the end of the season, though. It's that's what I've been waiting for all year. There's no doubt about that.
Seth Fighter has been our guest. Seth, I appreciate you. Good luck in the northern swing. Thanks for the update on Mille Lacs, and we'll look forward to talking again down the road.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. There you go. Seth Fighter. If you're going to talk Mille Lacs, you got to talk to Seth Fighter. Where else are you going to go? All right, we're going to get a break in here. We'll come back with more right after this. You're listening to Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over 500,000 outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament. Hosted by Tommy Sanders, Mark Zona, and former Bassmaster Classic champion Davey Height. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer, plus special guest appearances from Elite Pros. Streaming on Bassmaster.com, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time and simulcast on ESPN3.
Enter now for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra SR5 double cab 4x4 in the ultimate Toyota Tundra giveaway. Grand prize includes a genuine Toyota accessories package valued at up to $2,500 and additional accessories from B&W trailer hitches, Covercraft, Volant, and Yakima, plus a $4,000 installation allowance. A total grand prize value of close to $44,500. In addition, five runners-up will receive a $200 gift card from Advance Auto Park. Visit Bassmaster.com/Toyota Tundra giveaway to enter daily until September 15th, 2017, and for official rule.
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I want to thank Seth Fider for coming on because, you know, Mille Lacs was ranked the number one lake, and today we're doing our top 100 special. Coming up, James Hall will join us. But if we're going to talk about the Southeast and, well, some of these lakes in general, another great guy to talk to, of course, is Davey Height, a former Elite and Bassmaster Classic champion, and now, of course, one of the hosts of Bassmaster Live. Davey, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
How about Mille Lacs being ranked the number one smallmouth lake up there? And Seth Fider came in and talked about it, and I couldn't tell whether or not he was thrilled to hear that it had moved from six to number one. I know some of the folks up there are not thrilled about it because that's that's like the best walleye lake in Minnesota, and now it's going to get overrun by more folks going in there looking for those 5-pound smallies.
Yeah, there's pros and cons with having the what's named the best lake in the country for sure, and the locals that have been fishing up there that wanted to keep their secret, and it really wasn't a big secret because a lot of people from other parts of the country, including myself, knew how good a body of water Lake Mille Lacs is. But now, with it being in Bassmaster Magazine as the number one lake in the nation, then there'll certainly be more people there.
Yeah.
Now, there's give and take. Like I said, it's more fishing pressure will make it a little tougher fishing typically, but the people with the local restaurants and hotels, motels, campgrounds, all that sort of thing, because the walleye fishing has really, really fallen off the last few years. They've cut off the walleye fishing, so it's really hurt a lot of those local businesses. So, like I said, there's give and take with anything like this.
Yeah. Moving back to the Southeast, I mean, one of the stories of this list is this little Sharon Harris over in North Carolina debuting on the list at number four in the country. I mean, this is a pond. This is a 4,000 square acre lake, but it's had 40-pound stringers, a 46-pound stringer to win a tournament recently. Obviously, a big fish factory just north of where you live in South Carolina. But, that was kind of a stunner to see Sharon Harris come in there at number four in the country.
Yeah, speaking of a secret, Sharon Harris really has been a secret, just basically a regional thing, pretty much just North Carolina thing. I've never fished Sharon Harris, but for 30 years I've heard about what a great big bass fishery it is, and this spring it really kind of all came together and got all that national attention with those 40 plus pound stringers, and truly incredible. And like I mentioned, I have not fished there yet, but I do know it's a very small place, and hopefully this attention to Sharon Harris there in North Carolina won't be the demise of it for a little while. We'll see. You know, most folks practice catch and release, and hopefully everything will work out with that fishery. It being so small worries me. You know, you look at number two in the Southeastern Division, and you got Santee Cooper Lakes, which is a huge fishery.
Right.
And we just thought about Mille Lacs. Those places are huge, and they can withstand some of that pressure. But little Sharon Harris at 4,000 acres, I hope it does okay.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Sandy Cooper as well, because this is a reservoir that's been around for a long time and has, you know, had been on and off the list at various spots. It's obviously a body of water that you're very familiar with, but, you know, Sandy Cooper, Marion M. Moultrie, between them about 170,000 square acres. What a tremendous fishery, and I really think that that is something that needs to be on everybody's bucket list to go over there and fish it. I know I saw it a number of times driving down 95, and you kind of cross it there, but you know, talk about Sandy Cooper a little bit.
Well, Sandy Cooper is one of my favorite fisheries. You got to get up and go to beat Sandy Cooper. It's the number one destination in the Southeast, in my opinion. But with those 40-pound stringers at Sharon Harris, I certainly understand why they have it at number one. But I've spent quite a bit of time fishing there this spring in both of those lakes. I actually filmed a television show for the Bass Pros. Bass Pro Shop sponsored program, and my biggest five fish weighed 28 pounds, and we did that in less than a day. You know, a lot of times those shows take a long time to put everything together, but just truly incredible. And the last six trips I've made to Sandy Cooper Lakes from the 1st of April until the week before last, I've made six trips down there, multiple day trips, some of them. And I've caught at least two fish 5 pounds or more every single time I've been there. And the fish in different stages, doing different things. It's not just a place where you got to be there on the exact right time anymore. There were a few years there. It was really good in the spring, but not so good throughout the year. But it is really an incredible fishery with such great diversity. The cypress trees, the standing timber, the shallow vegetation. Just a beautiful place to go spend just a great fishing destination, all type fish. You know, the last two trips I've gone down there, I'd catfish for one day with some friends, basically a social event, catch coolers full of catfish, and then I'll always bass fish for a day or two after that and then just have a great day bass fishing. So it's just an incredible fishery.
Yeah, and the thing about that lake that seems to be, and I haven't been on it, but the thing that it seems to be is the versatility of it, right? I mean, that's the deal there, is that you got so many different ways to fish. You can fish vegetation, like you say, fishing those cypress trees, a lot of target fishing. If you love to pitch and you know, and fish around targets, you've got that. You can get some open water fishing. I mean, it seems like that's the deal. There's so much versatility there. You could work on your entire technique and game, you know, just by going to Sandy Cooper for a weekend.
You really can, and I really think that's been a big key to me having some success on the Bassmaster Tournament Trail through my career, is being able to fish on Lake Murray and then the Sandy Cooper Lake. Just so much versatility there. And offshore, like you mentioned them all, there's no need for me to say those again, because when you go fish your National Tournament Trail, you're going to see a lot of diversity, and you'll have some good fishermen that come from certain areas of the country. But when you start traveling around and you see things that you've never seen before, it's really tough to compete at that level. So I certainly credit Sandy Cooper for being part of my, I guess, proving ground, training grounds, whatever you might want to call it.
Couple of Lake Davy Height with us talking about the top 100, the southeastern segment of the top 100. Couple of lakes along the Savannah River getting in there, Clark's Hill, you know, Strom Thurmond on there, and our destination for the Classic next year, Lake Hartwell, on there as well, at number 21 in the southeast. Now, it's Hartwell. It's been known to be sometimes tricky, you know, depending on the time of year. We know what it was like last time, how cold it was. It'll be a little bit later next spring for the Classic. But talk about Hartwell being on this list at 21 and maybe on the rise a little bit.
Well, Hartwell is a great fishery. It's a huge body of water that also offers a lot of diversity. The problem with Hartwell and Clark Hill, those lakes along the Savannah chain there, is it seems to be both of those lakes are lower now than the other lakes on some of our other rivers. So things are constantly changing, but the good thing about that lake being low for a while is you have a lot of vegetation. It grows up along the shoreline, and then when the lake does come back up, it gives those fish a lot of habitat. It's a great fishery. It'll be a great venue for the Bassmaster Classic, no doubt. Great area. The people love bass fishing, and the people in the host cities love for us to be there. So I'm certainly excited about that. The one thing we can't control is the weather, Mother Nature. And it's always concerned me since the Classics have been moved to the early spring about having the I guess, perfect storm, which I think we almost did in the last time the Classic was at Hartwell. It was just extremely unusually cold conditions.
Right.
But still a lot of fish were caught. You can see a lot of fish no matter what the weather is. They're only caught.
Yeah. All right. And finally, I'm a Tennessee River guy myself. I live about 45 minutes from Goose Pond and Gunnersville on there. About, I think I counted six Tennessee River lakes in the southeast on there, headed by Chickamauga, Watts Bar, which is the dirty little secret in Tennessee. A lot of people actually choosing Watts Bar over Chick at times. Gunnersville, it's off, but it's been held to a high standard. Pickwick, Wilson, Tennessee River always showing out, isn't it?
Yeah, the Tennessee River is certainly the jewel of bass fishing. In my opinion, I don't know of another river system in the country that even comes close to it. Just every single lake, the diversity of largemouth, smallmouth, and spotted bass is incredible. But what I think is often overlooked is the amount of pressure those lakes get.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about Gunnersville being off a little bit, you go to every boat ramp, and there are a lot of boat ramps around that lake, along with Kentucky Lake, and you can just go on and on. Those boat ramps, there are people there 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. There will be some boats at some of those ramps. Most days and every single weekend, those ramps will be full. So it's truly incredible what the Tennessee River keeps on putting out, so to speak, because it gets tremendous pressure from people all over the country, and the fishing season is 365 days, unlike some of the northern ones.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And at Gunnersville, we've been catching a lot of small bass, a lot of short bass. Haven't seen that in years past, but I think that indicates that, you know, it could bounce back quickly within the next 2 or 3 years with the number of smaller bass that are being caught.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's something that we always pay attention to. I roomed with Kevin Van Dam for 11 or 12 years on the Bassmaster Tournament Prep. We go to a place to see a large number of the small bass, that population, it's always a good sign.
Yeah.
Everyone likes to catch those bigger bass, but when you go to a fishery and all you catch is like 4 to 5 or 6 pounders, and I'm not saying that isn't a good thing, but you need to see that diversity in the age classes. But when you see a lot of small fish, just a couple years ago, Lake Eufaula was one of those, and the fishing is going to just be tremendous there. But like you said, at Gunnersville, you see those smaller fish, it's a good sign. When you don't see that younger age class, that's when you need to be concerned about your future.
All right, Davey, I appreciate you as well. Looking forward to the Northern Swing, and I'm following you on Bassmaster Live as well. Davey Height has been our guest. Davey, thanks, man.
You bet. Thank you so much.
All right, when we return, James Hall will join us. He's the editor and kind of the godfather of this whole Top 100, and he'll tell us, as I like to say, how the sausage is made. That's coming up next here on Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. Enter now for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra SR5 double cab 4x4 in the ultimate Toyota Tundra giveaway. Grand prize includes a genuine Toyota accessories package valued at up to $2,500 and additional accessories from B&W trailer hitches, Covercraft, Volant, and Yakima, plus a $4,000 installation allowance. A total grand prize value of close to $44,500. In addition, 5 runners-up will receive a $200 gift card from Advance Auto Parts. Visit Bassmaster.com/Toyota Tundra giveaway to enter daily until September 15th, 2017, and for official rule. Are you looking for a great weekend tournament fishing experience? Well, visit AmericanBassAnglers.com for the latest on the nation's number one grassroots fishing tours. The ABA features several circuits, including the American Fishing Tour, one-day events close to home. The ABA also has the Open Series with 16 divisions around the country and a $5,000 guaranteed first place. For team tournaments, check out the 100% Plus Team Tour and even the Couples Tour. All events lead to the Ray Scott Championships as well. Learn more at AmericanBassAnglers.com.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. It's our Top 100 special today as we kind of look at the Top 100. It's one of the most sought-after issues, I believe. You know, only 6 years in, it's one of the most sought-after issues in, and it creates a lot of controversy and discussion and also sets your destinations up for the year, which I think is really cool. And joining us now is Bassmaster Magazine editor James Hall, who plays a big role in this thing. James, welcome back. How are you, man?
No, I'm doing good, Tom. Thanks for having me. Very much. I appreciate it.
Am I lying when I say that this is one of the most anticipated issues? I mean, it falls at a kind of a little bit of a soft time in the season for the elites, and this issue kind of takes on a life of its own, both online and in print.
Yeah, it really has become one of the crown jewels for Bassmaster over the year. And, you know, I think it creates a lot of chatter and more controversy than I would like to admit. Mm-hmm. And a lot of excitement, man. You get a lot of communities calling us up to say thank you so much. And we're like, well, hey, man, you know, I just appreciate the fishery. So anyway, yeah, it is a highly anticipated ranking. And we're proud to offer it.
And now that you're 6 years in, it seems like you could start developing some data in terms of, you know, lakes' average rank, you know, in the history of the rankings, and, you know, lakes that have been in the, you know, number one multiple times and things like that. It mm-hmm. seems to be that there's a lot of information now that you're starting to gather that makes it a great database.
Absolutely. You know, and if the listeners will go to Bassmaster.com, we have a photo gallery of the rank of this year's rankings. But I think our web folks this year are planning on doing some of that, kind of the average rank over the past 6 years. And, you know, if it's fallen off the list at all, if it's debuted highly, that sort of thing. So that's a kind of a sister chunk of content to go along with what we put in the magazine. So, but you're right, it's really, really interesting to me to see the fluctuations, the ebb and flow of how these fisheries, you know, kind of peak and valley. It's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about how the sausage is made now, because you've got the top 12 lakes in the nation, and then from there you break it down regionally, which is, I think, a great, great idea. But, you know, this is more than just tournament results, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are some lakes on the list that did not have tournaments on their on the body of water at all. But, you know, a big part of how we start this process is contacting the DNRs and the fisheries biologists for every state. And we have them rank the lakes, and then we ask them to tell us why they ranked the lakes the way they did. And so there are some lakes that, you know, have that aren't tournament, that, you know, not big enough or don't have great access for a tournament, that are still incredible fisheries. And so once we get those lakes in our list from the DNRs, well, then we start doing some research, looking at guides that have been on the lake and some of the success stories that have happened over the past 12 months to try to generate the type of data we need to put them in the rankings.
James Hall with us, editor of Bassmaster Magazine. All right, Mille Lacs gets the number one spot. Just to put it in perspective for people, this is 132,000 square acre lake. That's more than twice the size of Gunnersville, for example. A lot of our listeners know Gunnersville. I mean, that's how big this body of water is, teeming with smallmouth. I mean, what an incredible lake, when basically it's filled with 5-pound smallmouth. I mean, that's what you got to catch there to even be competitive. That's just amazing.
Oh, that place is unbelievable. I went there and I fished there last year, and I caught my personal best. I only had like a day and a half to fish. Caught a 6'2", and the guy I was with was like, yeah, you know, that's a pretty good one, but there are a lot of bigger fish in here. I'm like, man, give me a break. Just show me some excitement for a second, you know? And then we go up there not long after I fished it and had the Angler of the Year Championship there, and it was my jaw dropped at how many 20-pound limits came across that stage. I mean, it was, in the 90s, I think. It's everyone caught multiple 20-pound limits. Most people caught them every single day. It was just, you don't blink at a 4-pound average there. And so, yeah, that was a pretty easy, we weren't there at a great time. And, you know, Seth Fider said, you know, if we'd have come a little lighter, y'all have seen 30-pound bag pretty easy. Although he doesn't sound like that.
No.
He's more of a Yankee.
Yeah, no.
Kind of accent. But anyway, Mille Lacs was pretty easy to put at the number one spot.
Yeah, and the thing is, one of the things you have to balance here is the chance at a great big fish. I mean, some of the places in California, whatnot, mm-hmm. where you can catch a teen largemouth versus a place like Mille Lacs, where you're not going to catch, you know, 10 and 12 pound fish, but you're going to catch all 5-pounders and some 6-pounders that would make the difference. So that kind of is an interesting deal where you have to weigh the difference between a giant bass versus just great strings of big bass.
Yeah, you know, and it's a three-prong approach to look at. You have, whenever we put these rankings together, you have trophy potential, you have quantity of bass, and then you have the aesthetics of the fishery and access. So, you know, and for if you, look at a 6-pound smallmouth, well, in our book, that's equivalent to a 10-pound largemouth. That is a trophy once in a lifetime type of fish. So, you know, in our mind, if you're looking at a smallmouth lake, the trophy potential is 6 pounds. You look at a largemouth lake, the trophy potential area is 10 pounds. So at Mille Lacs, you have a very good chance of catching a trophy smallmouth. You'll catch a bunch of fish and way over average size, you know, talking about 5-pound brown bass. And by the way, there are some dandy largemouth in Mille Lacs, too, if you get back in some of the canals and stuff.
Yeah.
And then aesthetically, the place is gorgeous. You know, as long as it's not blowing, it is an incredible place to fish.
Yeah, and, you know, when we look at some of the other lakes, what's fun about this, too, is we talked about the size of Mille Lacs, and then you've got, you know, a place like Lake Erie on there, or the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta, which is 1,100 square miles. But sitting there at number 4 is Sharon Harris Lake in North Carolina. This may be the highest debut of any lake. It's 4,100 acres. It's a pond, really, at 4,100 acres. That's very, very small.
I tell you, when we heard about the results coming out of Sharon Harris Lake, my jaw dropped. I'm like, why have I not heard of this lake more recently than this, and why have I not fished there yet? But this little guy, 4,100 acres in North Carolina, is spitting out 40-pound limits in consecutive weekends.
Wow.
And I mean, you're talking, and we know with two fish over 10 pounds in one of those limits, it was. That little place right there is high on my bucket list.
Is that, though, the kind of place you mentioned how people say they thank you for mentioning it? Is that the a kind of place where they might say, oh, great, you know, because that you can only put so much pressure on a 4,100-acre lake. I mean, that lake might not have any fish in it by the time next year comes around.
Yeah, that's kind of it's a double-edged sword, you know, because it like with this list has a tendency to put a lot of pressure on a body of water, and so it's a little scary for us to include a lake that small on it because we don't want to overpressure a lake. But then again, it seems irresponsible for us not to rank a body of water highly whenever it's spitting out largemouth like that. So it's kind of a, you know, damned if I do, damned if I don't type situation.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the positive of a lot of pressure going there is it's really going to benefit the community. And I think that, you know, the state will love it. The local hotels and that the local anglers are going to be not happy with me. I'm certain of that. But you know, it is what it is, man. It's really producing right now, and it deserves that ranking.
James Hall with us, Bassmaster Magazine editor. A couple of other little secrets, you know, that are always kind of fun to see them come out here. Watts Bar gets a mention in the Southeastern Division. Now, that's the next lake up on the Tennessee River chain from Chickamauga. Chickamauga was number 12, I think, overall in the nation, and everybody knows how hot Chick has been. But I know a few people who live on Chick, and they just whisper to me, you know what, I'd rather trailer over to Watts Bar than fish Chick right now. I mean, Watts Bar is that good, and sure enough, it slipped into the rankings as well, at least in the Southeast.
Yeah. I mean, it's taken almost 26 pounds to win at Watts Bar, which is absolutely amazing. And I think that, you know, one of the events we looked at, the top six anglers had more than 20 pounds. So it is on fire. And the you know, the DNR guys in Tennessee told us, you know, that Chickamauga is red hot right now, but Watts Bar is not far behind. So if I lived in the area, I would certainly be going to Watts Bar as well.
And then on the flip side, Gunnersville, we mentioned that earlier, and I've fished 4 or 5 tournaments on Gunnersville so far this year, and I can attest to what is being said about it in terms of it being down. Now, we did have the most recent tournament, which happened after this went to print, was one with about 27 pounds. But it does seem to be, there's always one guy catching 25 pounds, but it seems like by the time you get to 5th or 6th, it's down into the teens, which is very unusual. I will say this about Gunnersville, though. I have never caught, and I've been fishing it 12 years now, I've never caught so many short bass in my life at Gunnersville, where, and it sounds, you know, bad in one hand, but on the other hand, I think that lake is going to have a big rebound in a few years. There are a ton of 10 to 12 to 13-inch bass being caught, and that lake will bounce back fast.
It will. It, you know, that is a fish factory, and that's really, honestly, the one thing that has amazed me about Guntersville over the years is how it hasn't dipped more and more frequently than it has because of the amount of pressure that lake gets. But like you say, and I've talked to a lot of anglers about Guntersville because that's one of the best fisheries we have in the Southeast. And they said it is down that there. You know, that some guys said that the fish got sick there a couple of years ago, and something happened to the big ones. But you're right. Everyone is talking about the great numbers of small fish. The recruitment last couple of years has been incredible. So I'm thinking in the next year or two, we're gonna see Guntersville jump way back up that list.
Some people think it would benefit from a slot limit as well, and that's the other thing. I think this is really good for studying how certain lakes manage their fish. I mean, your number two lake, of course, Sam Rayburn, which you know, we just saw Bass Fest on, and you see the impact of real good solid fish management.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that Rayburn, I had a lot of people yelling at me saying Rayburn should have been number one, and it was kind of hard to disagree with them based on the last couple of events that we looked at there. But yeah, the Texas has done just an incredible job of managing their fisheries, and Rayburn is no exception. I think Texas has has more lakes on this list than anyone because they put a lot of emphasis on bass fishing in that state, and you can kind of see the fruits of their labor.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I kind of look at this list like I do college football recruiting lists. I think if you're in the top five, they're all great. They're all the same. You know what I mean? To split hairs between one, two, and four and whatever. And then there's like the next grouping, you know, of if you have a class or a lake that's in the top 12 or 15. Those are all very, very good lakes. And yeah, I mean, somebody has to be number one, somebody has to be number two. That's where I would imagine the discussions get really lively in the room.
Yeah, I get cussed at. There's no doubt about it. And you know, again, some people are happy, and then some people are sad. They're glad I ranked the lakes were ranked low because they won't get the pressure or the ink associated with this type of rankings, but. You know, but you're right. Everyone in this top 12 to top 15 are five-star lakes. And right. Then you have the four-star lakes, which are still awesome to go to.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good rating system. You could put bass ratings out of five-bass lake or a four-bass lake or a three-bass lake. That's good stuff, yeah. All right, tremendous stuff. James Hall has been our guest. It's online at Bassmaster.com. You can really do some searching there. And, of course, in the most recent issue that showed up in your mailbox. Very cool cover, by the way. I like the suitcase with all the stickers on it. That was a great job by your art department.
Thank you. I'll tell our art. That was our art designer's idea. I think she pulled it off beautifully, so I'll let her know. Yeah, thank you for that.
All right, James, I appreciate you as always.
All right, thank you so much, Tom.
All right, thank you. All right, so that's a little bit of an overview of everything that's going on with the top 100. We'll come back and wrap it up right after this. You're listening to Bassmaster Radio right here on ESPN Nation Radio Network.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Yes. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over half a million outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament. Hosted by Tommy Sanders, Mark Zona, and former Bassmaster Classic champion Davey Height. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer, plus special guest appearances from Elite Pros. Streaming on Bassmaster.com, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time and simulcast on ESPN3.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back for the final segment of this special Top 100 edition of Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I want to thank James Hall, Davey Height, and Seth Fighter for coming on. And now, for the last couple of minutes, our good friend Scott Morris joins us. Scott, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. Good to be with you.
Yeah, I didn't know if you realized how much time you spent fishing in the Northeast. I went and I was looking for Barkley and Kentucky Lake, and I found it in the Northeast division of the Bassmaster Top 100. So, you know, you spend quite a bit of time fishing up in the Northeast, don't you?
Yeah, they make fun of my accent up there, but that's okay.
Barkley was listed ahead of Kentucky Lake by one spot, 19th in the Southeast, or in the Northeast, 20th for Kentucky Lake. And according to the Kentucky biologist folks, they were saying that for sheer numbers, Barkley's the better lake, bigger fish maybe in Kentucky Lake. What do you think of that?
I would disagree, but, you know, Barkley's a fantastic lake. Barkley really shines, Tom, last of April, the month of May, when they let the water get to summer pool and those fish pull into those bushes. Barkley is a unique lake, especially around the Tennessee-Kentucky border, as far as a pure flipping paradise, because you have buck bushes right off the river channel. You have current rolling through those buck bushes. And Barkley's a very unique place. And as it warms up, those fish move off to the ledges, and you can catch them on the mouths of the creeks or go down to the lower end and, you know, fish those bars and stuff. But I would put Kentucky Lake over Barkley just because of the sheer number of tournaments and the weights it takes to win these tournaments. But Barkley's a fantastic lake.
Yeah, Kentucky Lake's like Gunnersville. There's always somebody out there catching 25 or 27 pounds, even if it's a little bit down on sheer numbers. All right, well, listen, have fun when you go up fishing in the Northeast as well. And I know you had a good time at Chickamauga, won a tournament there last weekend, and Chick made the top 12. So another tremendous lake as well as the entire Tennessee River. Appreciate you, Scott.
All right. Thank you, sir. See ya.
Thank you. All right. That's Scott Morris talking about it as well. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Bassmaster Radio. And until next time, hit as many of those top 100 lakes as you can and keep those lines tight and those nets heavy. This has been Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.